It's all about working on your business as opposed to in your business. I think that's my main message to people. If you try to get a nugget from anyone you can, that can only get you to that next level that you're looking for.
Do you feel you should be further along in your contracting business? Are you tired of not making the money that you know that you're worth? Or maybe you're winning, but you just want to win at a higher level. I'm Tom Reber, and this is the Contractor Fight. Turn this shit up and get ready to earn more respect, earn more money, and be a better leader in your business. Oh, and P.S., this show is not for thin-skinned people. If you offend easily or have a victim mentality, you should probably just move the fuck on right now. Let's go. All right, fighters, what's going on? Welcome to the Contractor Fight. I'm going to dig right in here with you. Today, I have my buddy Frank Bork on the show. We get into some hiring stuff, best practices for that, building a great culture and a team. And then also, I invited him on because I wanted him to talk for a couple minutes about this amazing summit that he has coming up. He's expecting over 30,000 contractors in attendance to this thing. And it's happening on June 11th, 2020. So you can go to homeservicesupersummit.com and check out what he's got going on there. There's over 40, 43 speakers, all this good stuff. Frank's a really good dude. He's in this for the right reasons, and it's to have a big impact and to bring respect and dignity back to the trades. So without further ado, here's Frank. Frank, what's up?
Hey, how's it going, Tom? Pleasure to be here.
Yeah, it's good to talk to you again, man. You got a lot going on, man. A little moving and shaking in the world that we're going to get into. And you and I had a conversation, I think it was it 2 weeks ago now?
But yeah, a couple of weeks ago. Yeah.
2 weeks ago, you were helping me with something and let me pick your brain on a few things. And I said, well, you told me about this event you have coming up. And I said, well, we got to get you on the show and broadcast it to the world to get more guys attending this thing, because I know it's going to be super helpful. We'll get into that in a minute. But before we jump into that, maybe give us an overview of who you are and what do you do for those that have no clue, that they've never heard of you, which is crazy.
Well, I really appreciate it. You know, I started back as a contractor 22 years ago. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I started from scratch, just wanted to build something. And like many others, I've scrambled for many years before finally kind of getting the hang of it. Mm-hmm. About 12 years in, 10 years in, I finally built something to about 100 employees, just over 100 employees, and super proud of that. But then the economy crashed in 2008, 2009, right?
Yep.
So I had to completely reshift my ways of doing things. It was my first time through a real crisis. Like what I thought was a crisis when I had a business, just dealing with employees and business itself, financials, all the stuff that comes with owning a business. Then that crisis from 2008, 2009 hit, and I had to basically bring my business from 110 employees to 20 employees. Yeah, just basically getting rid of everything that wasn't essential, just kind of taking everything off my shoulders. I almost quit at that point in time. Just wanted to get out at some points because I didn't know where to go. But you know what? I seek the right help. I found the right mentors, found the right coaches. And 2-3 years later, we had rebuilt not many more employees, but we had just basically leaned the business to the point where we were more profitable, more efficient, and actually almost more revenue than before with almost 5 times the number of employees, right? So That being said, having rebuilt 7-8 years later, starting to look at the option of maybe selling the business, because I wanted to get into more of the consulting side of it, because I was getting more and more opportunities to do so. And I was getting the opportunity to coach, to do some speaking at some of the events. And man, I just really became passionate because I got the help when I needed it. And when you're able to give it back, there's just something about wanting to help as many people as you can. So that's what we're doing now, as much as we can, with events, with podcasts like these ones, just getting the word out there.
Well, good deal. And you're up in Ontario, Canada. I just want to let people know where you're at in case they didn't know. So you talked about a couple things here. I'm trying to think which question to ask first because you got me asking two. It's kind of the same question, so I'll ask them both. Actually, one's more of a statement. So I'm pretty good here now. All right. There's nothing like seeing the light go on in somebody's eyes, right? When you help them. Yeah. And they go, oh my God, I get this now. Right. So that's that thing that feeds the coach in us, is having an impact like that, that, you know, is going to, like, once you have that knowledge, once you have that wisdom, once you have, once you've implemented something that is helping you be more successful as a coach, when that happens, you know that that person is going to carry that with them forever. It's not going away. And that's pretty cool. It's a super long lasting impact you have. So I'm curious, if you go back to, you built it up, the crash hit, you got help, mentors, coaches, all that other stuff. What was, like, maybe your moment where the light went on for you? What was one thing in your business, maybe, that, not the only thing, but what was one thing that you felt that when the light went on, it changed everything for you?
Yeah. You couldn't be more right. I think when that hits for anyone, in my case, what it was is one night, I remember I was just sitting down being really just almost depressed about the whole situation. I let myself I let that side that kind of feeds the fear and all that stuff get over me a little bit. And, but then I had that heart to heart moment with myself and said, listen, you can go in that direction or you can take a look at what you could do. And so I called up a buddy of mine and I said, called him a buddy of mine, but much older fella that has a lot of experience in life. And I said, what would you do? Like, you went through a lot of stuff. What would you do? He said, one of the things that I've realized in my hardest times is that you have to clean up the shop. You have to take a look at what kind of weight you're carrying on top of your shoulders that you just don't need. And it kind of took me by surprise because I was thinking, like, geez, it's not about making life more complicated. It's about actually simplifying it. And what he was telling me was basically, take a look at your life and anything that doesn't belong, that has to go, it's time to go. Well, it's time to do it. Like, you just don't have time to waste. And basically he was just telling me, if you're going to spend more time just taking a look at everything instead of, like, cleaning up and sticking what you really need, like the essentials, which is your family, which is the real employees that you really need by your side, anyone who can really bring you some value, keeping the right clients, keeping the right equipment. It all came back to, like, realizing that we all bring a certain value to the world, and some people and some things bring value to us. And in times like these, when you're kind of looking at the whole situation where you fit, is just, you have to realize that it's time to clean up. Like, it's time to do the spring cleanup and to only keep what's bringing you value, or at least take a look at what's going on in your life, in your business, and to really ask yourselves those important questions. And when I did that, what that allowed me to do was, well, first of all, I looked at my family and my family life, and I wanted my time back. So I'm, like, asking me those important questions. How do I get my time back? Well, I'm going to have to learn to learn a lot more about my numbers. I'm going to have to know those numbers. I'm going to have to know how to delegate. Well, I'm going to have to learn that too. I'm going to have to learn to maybe invest in some better equipment that can save me some time. So then I another reason for knowing my numbers, to know if I could afford it.
Right.
Then I would have to seek the right coaches, the right mentors, so that they could really point me in the direction that makes sense. Find people who's done it before. Like, find people who went through a lot of stuff, right?
Absolutely. So one of the things you talked about, people and delegating and things like that, we have a couple different types of people that listen to this, okay? And I'd like, I guess, first to speak to the guy who might be younger in business, or just, he's been in for a while, but he's a smaller business. Maybe it's him and a guy or two. How would you advise somebody how to know when it's time to hire someone?
Yeah, great question. I've been in that position so many times. And I'll tell you, it's not the number of employees that you have that count. It's finding the right ones that kind of blend in with how, what you see your vision. So like I've realized over the years that some of my, I guess the people who've helped me realize stuff in life are people who just do it the right way or actually put in the right efforts. So I know people who only have 2, 3, 4 employees. Mm-hmm. I know people who have, over 100 employees. And the good ones, the great quality they have is they first create a vision for the company. And so if your dream is just to have a lot of time, but to whenever you are at work, that you are efficient, you are working a certain amount of hours, and you set yourself some goals, well, you can sell that vision to your guys too. And if you find people who have the same vision as you, well, they'll be on board. Like they'll want to work with you. And so I think one of the key things is finding people who kind of see life the same way you do. And there's many ways to go about that. And we use stuff like the culture index and the predictive index and all these things. It's just a quiz that takes about 6-7 minutes, but you learn so much about a person. Like you just learn about how they're hardwired. And so if they like connecting with people, if they're a very social person and you are too, and you guys connect on that, you can learn a lot from a person just by doing stuff like that. Or just having a real conversation with someone and saying, where do you see yourself going in the next 5 years? The person is very short term and just wants money. You'll find out very quickly.
Yeah. Yep.
And if the person is real, and let's say for you, it's important to connect with your family and family time is important to you, and feeling like life is exciting and doing projects because you just love to, I don't know, create stuff. Mm-hmm. Well, as soon as you get someone in that kind of conversation, and you don't have to be an HR expert to ask questions like, hey, what gets you up excited in the morning? Like what would you like to get up for every morning? And if the person says, listen, I just want to spend my weekends with my family. And during the week, I want to create stuff, but I don't want to work like a slave. I want to work like a professional and join someone who wants to build the same thing. Then you get that connection.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. It's crazy. And I don't think this is unique to contractors. I see it in other businesses too, but we get a certain amount of work, and my buddy Art Snarzik, who's been on here before, he's a former contractor. Now he helps people hire people. And he says, he was talking way back in his business when the business was growing, he put an ad out and this is how he put it, all these people showed up. He's like, I just wanted painters. I just wanted painters, and a bunch of human beings showed up with different personalities and their issues and this and that. And he grew a great business and stuff. And I think that's something that many of us overlook, is we don't take some time right out of the gate, what you said, to have that clear vision of where you want to go with this business and find people that are like-minded and connect there, but also creating our own non-negotiable values. I call them NNVs of who gets to work here, the type of people that get to work here. In my business here, the contractor fight, and these are all equally important, but the first one that I wrote down was positive people only. The world is full of obstacles and negativity and pessimism and all these things, and business is hard enough. The last thing I wanted to do was invite people into my business that aren't the glasses half full type people. Doesn't mean you can't have a bad day and here and there, but all in all, another one is somebody who plays the long game, you know, that's not always out for the quick hit. You know, I've hired guys in the past where I had one guy we fired. He went to paint a bathroom ceiling as an additional work thing on a project, an upsell. Customer approached him and said, hey, what would it cost to paint the ceiling or whatever? And he told him $60 or whatever it was, because there was already, and there was tarp, they had the paint, and it was like a 8x5 ceiling, right? And the guy goes, yeah, that sounds good. And he goes, well, I'll do it for 50 if you just pay me cash on the side. You know what I mean? And he didn't know that guy was a friend of mine. And so fired him that afternoon. Just let him go that afternoon, because that's somebody that's just in it for the here and now. And so one of the things that's important to me, it's funny, I'm kind of patiently urgent, if that makes sense. Like I there's no better time than now to do the stuff that needs to be done, but I'm patient in the long game. And yeah. Those are the types of people that I get along with, or competitive people. I don't respect people that don't have a crazy work ethic and some competitiveness in them, because I want to win. And so I think you coming out of the gate with that whole clear vision of who we are, where we're going, is key. And to me, that's worth not hiring somebody if you don't have the right person. I mean, raise your hand. You and I are on screen right now. Just raise your hand now, because I know you're going to raise it. There you go. Raise your hand if you hired the wrong person because you just thought you just needed somebody to fill the seats. Yeah, both hands are up now, right? And it created way more problems than you just picking up the phone and calling a customer and saying, hey, I'm a little backed up right now. I need to bump you a few days, or I need to bump you a week, or and have that conversation. That's way less of a problem than bringing on the wrong people.
Yeah. I was surprised many times when just being open and not only with my staff, but with my clients, just like the example you mentioned, mm-hmm. just being real with your clients and saying, hey, listen, there's this, this change. We're adapting quickly to what's happening. You know, if it would be okay with you, I'd like to push the project a couple of days. And, you know, just being real with the clients, with your people. I have a friend who's got over 80 employees. And, man, this guy is just a fabulous leader, one of the best I know. And I said, how do you make your decisions in your business? He said, Frank, it comes back to my core values. You see that sign on the wall? And he had a big sign, a green sign in his garage. It basically says core values and, you know, the mission statement for the company. And part of his core values is just exactly what you mentioned, you know, being around positive people and wanting all the same things for the client, like the quality and being able to do the job right and showing up with the pride. And so he said, every decision comes back to that board. So when we look at it together, when we have a team meeting, if someone says, hey, listen, this is a real issue. And he would go back to say, well, okay, if this, let's say it's a person. Okay, let's discuss this person. Does this person have these core values? And if that person did not meet the core values of the company, well, they would just basically say, well, listen, we just can't keep that, because a bad apple is just like cancer. It will just destroy everything around that you're working hard for. So.
Yeah, and it doesn't mean they're bad people, right? It just means they're a bad fit for what's important to us here in our business. And I want to make sure that's clear. You know, there's a client of mine a while back, he ran into an issue where the schedule was getting backed up, you know, that whole thing. And this customer was getting a little, you know, antsy about getting their project done. And I thought this was brilliant. This client, he picked the phone up and he called, and here I'll role play it. Hey, Frank, it's Tom, blah, blah, blah. You're like, hey, what's up? Listen, I wanted to communicate what's going on with your project right now. I ran into an issue. We have a labor shortage in the trades, and we have a huge demand of work. We do amazing work, which is why you hired us. And I know you're upset. So I was wondering if you would help me solve a problem here. So this is how he created a partnership here. So I use this all the time now with people, because I thought it was brilliant. He says, I have one of two choices. He said, the first choice is that you trust me and you just wait another week or two. And because they had some weather stuff or whatever it was, right? And I promise you, I'm going to bring my team in there. We're going to kick butt and do an amazing job for you, and you're going to get everything you wanted without a hiccup. That's option one. Option two is I knee-jerk reaction, and I just hire a bunch of people that I don't know, and we practice on your house. Which of those would make sense to you? And it totally diffused the whole situation. The guy was like, oh, I'll wait. I don't want nobody practicing on my house. And so, and the reason I'm hitting this so hard is I hear from a lot of contractors that get themselves into problems with customers because they just don't have these conversations, you know, and about the reality of we need people. All right, fighters, $100,000 a year is not too much to ask. Listen, when our parents were younger, 100 grand was a lot of money. When I was growing up, 100 grand was a lot of money. Today, it's barely enough to get by in America, especially if you're a business owner. You got a lot of responsibilities. Everyone's got a handout, man. You got your subs, your employees, your vendors, your customers, your family, the doctor, your lawyer, the IRS, the state, Everybody wants a piece of the damn action. And quite frankly, the bills are never going to stop. Okay. Sadly, most contractors just think, I got to work harder and harder and harder and harder to make more money. Yet you're putting in all this time, putting in all this effort, and you're wondering, why am I still at 50, 60, 75 grand a year when I'm working my ass off? Listen, that's where I wanted to share with you guys a resource that we have, a kick-ass program called the 100K Contractor. Guys, this program is designed to do just that. It's to get you as a contractor business owner to at least $100,000 a year in personal income. All right. So I want to just share this domain with you guys because, listen, at the end of the day, you deserve it. Your family deserves it. It's time we quit stealing from our families. We've got a lot of cool stuff inside the 100K Contractor. So if you go to thecontractorfight.com/100K-contractor, you can see what we got going on. We've got a couple of videos where things get explained and get you guys set up on the right path toward your 100K personal income. You guys rock. We didn't plan on this, by the way, but we're going down this people path here. And I'd love for you to share, maybe if you had a magic wand and can wave it over the industry, how would you fix the hiring issue, the shortage, stuff like that? What are some things that come to mind that, you know, if you were faced with that right now again, what would you do?
Yeah. I think when we look at the industry where it is and we're looking at the new challenges, there's also new opportunities in there, right? So what I find interesting is, okay, right now, I guess 3 months back, if we look back 3 months, it was because we didn't have the labor or there was a big shortage. Well, you know what? The story kind of changed. All right. So soon enough, there's going to be a new market out there. People from different industries that, you know, they're probably not even from the industry that you're thinking or that you're working in right now that do have an interest for it or that could have an interest for it. So I'm just thinking, let's say for an industry like I've been working a lot with, it, like the landscape industry. Well, there's all kinds of people starting to think, hey, we can approach a younger crowd and get them interested, right? There's a lot of students that will not be that will not have summer jobs that will be looking for summer jobs. So I mean, there's a lot of okay, so that's the younger generation. Now there's a whole older generation that are very, very capable, very good work ethics that maybe have lost their job, but still interested. They might have some good management skills or leadership skills, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, and in between there, there's all kinds. What I would do if I had the magic wand would be, you have to take a look at providing your team where people do not come to you engaged. You as a business owner have to get them engaged. And that's the part that I think we get frustrated most about as a business owner until we realize that, oh, wait a minute, that's my job. I got to be the influencer and the motivator. Yeah. And how do we do that? It would be to provide that as the aha moment for all the business owners and say, listen, it's people are going to be out there. Now your job is going to have to be that leader. You have to be that person who says, listen, guys or gals, I don't have all the solutions. I will screw up, but I want you guys to be part of this team to work with me in finding solutions. So empowering your people by validating what they have to say and acknowledging what they do, what they say, what they can bring you is so important. And I think now that's what people want to hear. And people will be open to many different types of job opportunities.
Right.
If they know that you're an employer who understands that, I think you have way more chances to keep those great ones and to attract those great ones. I just mentioned my, you know, a good friend of mine who started out as a client. He built his company from nothing. And people look at his company and say, everyone looks happy in your company. And that's the reason why they stay healthy and happy is because they're just acknowledged on a regular basis for what they do, you know?
You know, it's everything comes back to us as the leader. You know, yeah. When I think of the ideal boss, I think of somebody that's kind of like, you know, age doesn't matter here, but kind of like the patient grandpa that's teaching his kid how to fix the lawnmower, or his grandson, or you know what I'm saying? Where it's somebody, because our people aren't going to know everything when they come to you, but if they have the right character, the values, all those other things that we talked about, and they're teachable, I think where we often drop the ball is we're just not patient.
Yeah.
You know, we're not in it for the long haul with people and having those conversations. I mean, I've seen so many problems get solved in businesses because a good leader pulls his team together and says, "Hey, we got this issue. What do you guys think? How can we do this? Cause I'm at a loss right now." And I think just acknowledging sometimes that you're at a loss builds trust.
Yeah.
Because then they feel like they feel safe in this place. Like, you're not walking around like you have all the answers and they don't have any input and things like that. And people won't stay in an environment that they can't flourish and grow and use their skills. I think you nailed it there. What was funny is your magic wand, again, went back to creating the type of culture that would attract other people to it.
Yeah.
So I think for those right now that are struggling with this hiring thing, start on the inside, right? Start with you, start with who you have. And that in turn, in fact, when I think back through the years, hundreds of people we hired, easily 95% of the ones that stayed and were a great fit never came from a want ad. They always came from our own people, and they were friends of theirs, and they were like, they wanted a change. And so it's kind of like marketing is, right? With your past customers and stuff, you love up on your customers, you get more of them, you love up on your people, you get more of them as well.
It totally is marketing. It's marketing. Marketing has two different splits. You mm-hmm. want to attract the right clients, but so important is you got to be just as good as attracting the right fit for you as employee. So you get the right ideal clients, ideal employees. You're so right.
Yeah. All right. So before we get into your summit that's coming up, I wanted to give you the platform just for a couple minutes to share anything that's on your heart that you feel is crucial to help a contractor grow a stronger business. We could just keep it broad like that, but just curious what comes to mind that, man, if I can hang my hat on something here, something that we already haven't talked about.
Yeah. So you know what? It brings me right back to almost a question that everyone says, like, okay, what can you do for my business? And really it's not what I can do, but what I can share some insights or just bring the person to think a different way. And if there's one thing that truly, truly changed my life, and it changed my many of my clients' lives, is the what they often say is, listen, when I started out, I was really motivated just building a business.
Right.
Then I got really excited, and that business took over me. So if you feel as a contractor, maybe the wheels are spinning, but you're not getting results, or maybe the wheels are spinning, but they're spinning too fast, and you're feeling a bit lost in the whole business wheel, basically just getting caught up being busy, being busy, right?
Yeah.
Then it's just about asking you some simple questions and taking a look at your day. So I'm all about time management, because you know what? The ones who make a lot of money and that have a lot of time are the ones who know how to manage time. That's right. All. They just got to be really, really good at managing time. Doesn't matter if you're a window cleaner, a carpenter, a painter, or a landscaper. If you're able to manage your time well, it means you're leveraging a lot of things. So if there would be one big tip that I think hopefully if I can get at least one person to realize that, maybe a paradigm shift in the way of thinking, is maybe take a look at your business and your life. Take a look at your typical week. Make a list of all the activities that you do in 1 week and ask yourself, from all those people that you meet on a regular basis, from all those interactions that you have, from all those actions that you take on a daily basis, how much of that is actually bringing you some value? Mm-hmm. So when I'm taking a look at that, like I call it slack. So is there anything holding you back, like weighing on your shoulders, that you could take out of the equation? It wouldn't have much of a difference in your life because it's not bringing much value anyways, that you could just release, right? So anything that absorbs resources but creates little to no value, is there? We all have it. Yeah. So it's almost like we just have to take a look at it once in a while because we all start getting busy doing stuff again and again and again. Yeah. So it's almost like I try to do the exercise on a monthly basis when I can. And especially in times where I feel overwhelmed, and just look at it. And sometimes it also means picking up the phone and having those crucial conversations, which is also the name of a book, which I recommend if anyone wants to have a good suggestion for a book, Crucial Conversation. Sometimes about having those conversations with people and say, listen, I'm a bit overwhelmed right now. And to be honest, I might have to push your job ahead because, you know, with the whole situation we're living in right now, it delayed our business or whatever. It's just being open and having those conversations sometimes. And when I had the experience, I went through the process and I was deeply honest with myself and people around me. I found out that people understand. Like I just realized that, man, I did this all these years. I pushed myself to the limit because I thought people would not understand.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden I started having those tough conversations with my staff and said, listen, I may have to let you go. Like it's come to this with some staff, right? Yeah. And then the best of the best is like, I'm going to give my 110% to make this team go through this, and we can do it together. And I would motivate them and I would do everything in my power to keep them. But still I would be real, right? And say, listen, this is how we got to work together to make it work. And by doing this, people wanted to stay even more. Like they're like, man, if you're on board, we're on board. And we're all scared, but man, we're going to do this. Mm-hmm. And it just makes you realize that people just want the same thing. They just want to make sure that you're going the same direction as them. And so if you can be that person, you'll be surprised by having these real conversations.
You know, that time management thing that you led off with there for that made me think of, you know, Dan Sullivan.
Yeah.
Okay. So he has a thing he trademarked called your unique ability. And it's funny because he has a thing where you track your time to see, I think there were four quadrants. There's your unique ability, which is the thing that comes really easy to do. You're really good at low friction, adds a ton of value to the company. And then you have things that you're good at, but they don't really fire you up. Then you have things that you're competent at, and they really don't fire you up. Mm-hmm. And then you have things that you suck at. And that's not his language, but you know, and it's funny because when I've done that, I've been fortunate. I have a great team behind me where I spend about 90% of my time in my unique ability. And it's doing stuff like this. And I think, this comes back to the team part, that if you're listening to this, you feel like you're alone, you don't know how to juggle your time and prioritize things. Cause a lot of things have to be done in the business. It's just a reality.
Yeah.
And depending on the season of business and the type of, you know, people you have on board and things like that, is going to also depend how much of it is sitting on your shoulders. So I would encourage people to even sit down with their team and go, guys, here, write it on the board. Here's what I think I'm best at. And if I could spend 80 to 90% of my time doing this stuff, I think we'd be a stronger business. What do you guys think? Would you agree with this? You know, and then break them down into those four areas that we talked about, and then open it up and go, so guys, how do we get me there so that we can keep moving on in a company? And also, what are you guys best at? I don't know why I keep pointing at my wall here, but anyway, what is everyone else's unique ability? And I remember the light bulb in that area went off for me many years ago. I went on this job site. We were on this deadline and we had to get this big project painted or whatever. And I had like two and a half hours between sales calls or whatever. So I swung into the job site. I grabbed a brush and a cut pot, and right as I'm going to like take my first dip, one of my foremen comes up, and super gentle human being, great guy. He goes, Tom, can I talk to you outside? And I said, sure. So we go out to the front porch, and he goes, can we go out by the street? I don't want anyone to hear this. And I'm thinking, oh my God, he's going to fight. He's going to quit or something. You know, I'm freaking out. And he goes, he says to me, we get up to the street and he puts his hand on my shoulder and he goes, thank you so much for wanting to help.
Thanks for trying.
And he goes, but please don't help. And I said, what? Not for you. We're on this time frame. He goes, yeah, we're on a time frame, which means we don't have any room for error if we're going to finish as promised. And whenever you help, we have to fix it. And I said, I just want to help. But he goes, if you really want to help, go sell something. That's what he told me. He says, if you really want to help, go sell something. And I said, okay, now does this go for just this job or is this forever? He goes, this is forever. We don't ever need your help here. And that was, it was great because it was very freeing too, that you had permission from your right-hand guys for them to go, no, you go do the thing you do really well. We'll do the thing we do really well. And together we'll have a kick-ass business here. So,
man, that's such a powerful moment. And I've lived that a few times in my life where I've had people call me and say, hey, you don't know, like you won't guess what happened this morning. And then they'll share kind of a similar experience where they'll go like, man, I didn't go into work this morning and everyone went like on their jobs without me doing anything. Yeah. Like stuff is running on its own now. And like, that's the only way it can happen. Sometimes you're in your own way and you don't even know it, right?
Yeah, I have a friend's got 60, 80 employees, and he, through a course of a couple things, he had to take like a month or 5 weeks off and just some life stuff. And he left, and he was worried the whole time. He had like a weekly check-in call here and there, you know, not much. He came back, the business was better, you know, because he got out of the way. And a lot of times, we're the ones that start this thing. We're the visionary. We're the, you know, we have this goal and this dream to start this thing. And, but we're often the bottleneck as well. So, and I know that, it's kind of a segue into your event here. So you have Brian Scudamore from, 1-800-GOT-JUNK, who's going to be one of your presenters.
Yeah.
And he had the vision for what we now have, but his guy, Cameron Harold, who's been on my show before, came in and I guess took it from, it was like 2 million to 100 something million in like 6 years or something crazy like that.
Yeah,
because Brian was humble enough to go, hey, I need somebody who can really move the ball forward here for me. So give us whatever you know of that if you want, and then kind of segue into what's this summit you got going on, man? Where can people tell us about it? What caused you to put this together?
We talk about vision and we talk about these great people who are visionaries and who kind of start with something in mind and then they do everything in their power to make it happen. And that's what it's about. It's we went and tried to find some of the best people out there. Some of them are the most inspiring. Some of them are authors like Michael Gerber from The E-Myth. I mean, that book alone changed my life. And that's the book. That's the basically the storyline. Yeah, it's all about working on your business as opposed to in your business. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think that's my main message to people. It's like, man, if you put your efforts in the right place and you try to get a nugget from everywhere or anyone you can who has been there or that is going in the same direction as you, well then that can only make you accelerate. That can only get you to that next level that you're looking for faster. So this summit, it's my third summit. I'm co-hosting it with Brandon Vaughn, who is a great, not only a great coach, but he has a great team and he's just bringing everyone into this summit. And I'm bringing some people as well. And the goal is to really get contractors to realize that they're not alone. I think we all go through these different stages where we're asking ourselves the same kind of questions. And this is a summit, an event to help people answer those questions. And we're going through a change in economy, a change in the way we go about doing business. And I think it's a good time. It's coming at a time where we're looking for support. We're looking for advice. And that was the goal of it.
And so this kicks off at the time of this recording. We're recording this on June 1st. So it kicks off in 9 days on the 11th. Mm-hmm. 9 days, 21 hours, 18 minutes and 53, 52, 51. I'm on your countdown timer here. So what, how long does it go? How many speakers you got? What's that look like?
Yeah, so it's on the span of 4 days, and there's over 40 speakers. And it may seem overwhelming, but I think the way to go about it is you go on the website, you get a feel for what people do, then you can do a little bit of research to find out where you're trying to go with your business, and then read a little bit about these business people or these authors, what they have to say. Take a look at the title of their talk that's going to come out a little bit later on this week. So, I mean, signing up, you can't go wrong. You can attend the sessions for free. And then if you can't attend the summit for some reason, well, then you can take a look at the all access pass where you'd have access to everything. But the most important part is just looking at what you're looking to do and to see what's there. And if it's a match, then join us.
So you're expecting over 30,000 people to attend this event. And with that, there's some sort of record we're going after or something. Tell us about that. What's up with that? So people can help you get this record, man.
Hey, well, thanks so much. Well, we're looking to do this because it's, for me, it's my third event and we've hit 25,000 and 27,000 and we're looking to beat the record, which is right around the 30,000 mark. And I think it's not about the record, although that's really exciting.
Yeah.
If people sign up and they watch just half an hour or to an hour of a session, they'll be able to say that they were part of a world record if we hit it. So the goal is just to, it's all for a common cause and it's for a good cause. It's our education. So, it's exciting. And if we can hit it, it just means we're reaching out to a lot of people. And that's what we want, just to bring as much as we can, much value to people.
Yeah, and to be clear, this is the Guinness World Records. So I remember those big Guinness Book of World Records when I was a little kid. I'd grow up and flip through those things, and this guy stood on one leg for like 17 years or whatever. Who can beat that? And you've said this a couple of times. I want to reiterate. I encourage people to get on this thing because. I'm trying not to say this in a cheesy way that's not on brand with the contractor fight. So I'm trying to find the words here. But by attending and learning one thing, you walk away with one nugget. You have this crazy, not just you, I'm talking people that are there. You have a crazy ripple effect of good shit that's going to come your way and in the lives of the people that you care about, those that you support, your employees, your families, that one nugget. I can't tell you how many times I've attended things I remember one time it was the very last like 2 minutes of this guy's talk and I didn't get jack through the whole thing.
Yeah.
And not saying it wasn't good, but it just was like nothing hit me. And then something that he said that wasn't even part of the thing ended up being a thing that put hundreds of thousands in my pocket because
Absolutely.
It helped me just hear something a little bit differently. And so hats off to you and your team. You and I talked a couple weeks ago about all that goes into putting on one of these, and it is a gargantuan task. And so I wanted to have you on here to help do our part to support you in this. I know you do a lot for the industry, you're doing it for the right reasons. And that means a lot, man. So I super appreciate you sharing that with us. And where do they go if they want to hop on? We'll put this all in the show notes and stuff as well. But what do you need or where do we go?
Well, Tom, first, thank you so much. Such an honor to be part of what you do too. And for you to do this, to kind of showcase and share is great. What basically people can reach us or they can sign up at homeservicesupersummit.com. And there's also homeservicesupersummit.com/landscaping, which is very similar. It's just that it's more to people that would want to do that. But so just, that's all we can do is share the message, but we really appreciate anyone who wants to join us and be part of it.
Absolutely. And so other than this, where can people find you? I know you got a lot of things going on online. What's the best way to connect with you?
So my personal website is Frank Bourque, Frank, F-R-A-N-K, and Bourque is B-O-U-R-Q-U-E.com. And that's my coaching websites. I have different programs and you can connect with me there anytime. We can book a free meeting if you're just looking to chat and find out, brainstorm a few things. So I'm totally open to it and offering it to your community.
Sounds like a plan, man. Well, so I'm going to put you on the spot now because a couple weeks ago you talked about how you're going to get your YouTube cranked up a little more, right? So, all right.
Yeah.
You got that channel going now? It's there. I saw it. It's there.
It's there. Now it's just I just gotta blow it out there. So man, I like how you keep me accountable and I know you're a good coach because
you're
on me for the right reasons.
Well, you said it, man. You said it. You're like, I really gotta do that. And I'm like, all right, well, here we go. Now it's public.
I love it. So. Thanks, though. Right,
Frank, I appreciate you being here and I will we'll get this out and put everything in the show notes and stuff. And with that, Travis, bring in the guitars. And we will talk to all you guys next time on The Contractor Fight.
Want some fight swag to wear? Simply share this episode of The Contractor Fight anywhere on Facebook or Instagram using the hashtag #JoinTheFight. And our team will pick one winner each week to recognize your help in spreading the fight message.